I'm here with David Wallace. He's on the board with the Utah Native Plant Society and with Cache Hikers, and we're going to talk about a hike. David, the first one that I'm looking at is the hairy clematis. This is one that you had sent to me. They've got fuzzy seed heads that appear in July. The flower itself is gone at this point?
Well, I was up there in mid-July, and it's still hanging on a little bit if you look closely. That's just the actual flower. The flower itself is not really spectacular. It's dull purple, and it's really fuzzy and thick leaves, so much so that it's sometimes called leather flower. And the shape is like a sugar bowl, so that's another name for it as well.
When I think of clematis, I'm thinking of what we usually see in the homeowner's yard. It climbs up a trellis, and it has these big, showy flowers. How is this one compared to that? You're not looking for anything like that, are you?
It's completely different. It's a non-viney member of the genus. Its flowers are, instead of big and wide and open like the clematis that you'll see in cultivation, this is a much smaller, tighter, urn-shaped flower. It's nodding. It hangs straight down. It kind of the plant itself is maybe a foot tall, and the flowers poke up above it, pointing downward, and then as they mature, they'll turn straight up and then turn into this fuzzy ball of seed head. And that's what's happening right now. The flowers are just changing from being these dull purple hanging things to the upright fuzzy ones. What's really interesting is I think that the seed heads are just as interesting to look at as the whole flower. As I mentioned, the flower is kind of nondescript. It's interesting. They're all interesting. But later, when it has this real fuzzy seed head poking up there, it reminds you of a Dr. Seuss book. And in fact, that's what my wife calls it. It's the Dr. Seuss plant.
Because they look like truffula trees?
Yeah. Well, I don't know the name, but okay. They're really kind of cool. And they'll last all clear until fall. I've seen them in October still out there, the seed head. So you could go look at the seed head part anytime.
How tall are they?
Okay. The whole plant is maybe about a foot tall with the seed heads and the flowers extending above that another a few inches more. Everything will be less than knee high.
And what type of area will you see them growing in?
This grows in the open meadow areas. You'll find it along with sagebrush and some of the other meadow plants. Buckwheat, for example, grows around it in that same kind of location. It's a plant that I first knew from the High Uinta Mountains along the Highway 150, the road that goes up to Mirror Lake. I'd stop down near the Provo River, and I'd see it in the sagebrush meadows there. But I was really pleased to see that it grows up here, and we get a chance to see it.
In looking at its distribution, it looks like it's found throughout the Intermountain West, anyway, quite a bit in Colorado. So its distribution, at least in Utah, there are quite a few locations where it has been identified. How widespread, then, would you see it? Would it just be a specimen here and there, or do you usually see them in a community?
When you see one, you usually see more. That's the case in the Uintas, in my experience there, and it's how it is up here at the along the White Pine Trail, where we'll talk about where you can find them. There's a big meadow there. Well, here, let's talk about the trail.
I was going to say, let's talk about the trail.
This is the White Pine Trail. It starts at Tony Grove. We've talked about Tony Grove Lake and that location in our previous sessions. To get there, you drive 20 miles up Logan Canyon from Logan, turn from the highway towards Tony Grove for 7 miles, park there, you have to pay $6 fee, and head off on the trail. The trail starts at the west end of the parking lot, and there's three branches to the initial trail. One goes to campground, picnic areas. Another goes to the nature trail, which we've talked about before. And this third trail heads up towards White Pine and Naomi Peak. Now, after about a quarter mile, the trail splits. So you take the right-hand fork going towards White Pine Lake, and within another quarter mile, you'll encounter a large meadow, and that's where you find the clematis.
At the same time, you're going to see the columbine that we talked about a couple of weeks ago is also on this trail.
Well,
if it's not gone already.
Well, we specifically mentioned the nature trail to find the columbine, but mm-hmm. it grows up here as well. It won't be out in the open meadows, but if you were to leave the trail and walk and look in some of the shady areas around the edges, there's a good chance you'll find it there as well. The Tony Grove area is one of these great places where you can find all sorts of stuff if you just look around.
I grew up on the west side of Cache Valley and hiked in what I know as the Mendon Mountains all the time. And so I didn't get over to this other side very often. But one of the trails that I've done more than a few times is the White Pine Trail. I've been camping at White Pine Lake with my dad and brother when I was younger. And usually when I take visitors, that's where I'll go because it's not a hard trail.
It's a great trail. If you only wanted to hike a short distance, another, say, half mile to a mile, you'll see the clematis. But if you keep going, it's about 3.5 miles. I think it's 3.8 miles technically, all the way to the lake. The White Pine Lake is a really nice natural lake in our northern Utah mountains. As you mentioned, it's a popular destination. There's established camp areas for backcountry camping. There is even a toilet that I think was brought in by some Boy Scout projects. It's currently out of service, but the sign on it says the Forest Service will try to get it fixed.
And that's at the lake?
That's near the lake.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. It's a, like I say, a popular area. You'll see if you go in on Friday or Saturday, you're likely to see people camping there. It's a popular Boy Scout destination as well.
Why don't you talk about the topographical change in the trail? It's fairly great going up, but you do drop down into White Pine.
The Tawny Grove Lake and White Pine Lake are about the same elevation, but you'll slowly climb. There's some ridges between them, as you mentioned. So you head to the north, take the right-hand fork, as I mentioned, which goes to White Pine Lake, and it'll slowly, gradually climb up past the meadow. There'll be actually a little sign you might notice that says Naomi Peak. There's a little loop trail that you can take, swing back to Naomi Peak. And I like to take that on my way to White Pine so I don't have to walk back my own tracks all the way. The trail gradually climbs through open meadows, a few scattered trees here and there, and you eventually come out on a ridge overlooking White Pine Creek. And then it'll be steep down, so it's about maybe 400 feet of climbing and then gently for over about 3 miles, and then a fairly steep 800-foot drop into White Pine Lake area where you'll have a nice destination.
So the only thing to be aware of is that you have to take that 800 feet up coming back out, but it happens right at the beginning of your return hike back.
Yeah, the whole thing is a fairly gentle trail. Any hike that has less than 1,000 feet, as far as I'm concerned, is a pretty easy hike.
This is a trail you could take family on. Kids can go on this trail. It's a non-motorized trail.
Right. Bicyclists will be on it occasionally. You'll see equestrians. It's just a good trail for a lot of purposes. Yeah, it's a well-maintained trail. It suffers a little bit from overuse. I would advise people, please do not cut the switchbacks. That leads to erosion, and it's a lot of extra work for the trail maintenance employees. There's a few signs that have been damaged in the past. Right now, most of them are okay, so please don't damage signs either. And this is not the right season, but I might add to the snowmobilers, please do not ride your snowmobile over the bridge. Its handrails have all been broken down because of snowmobilers that have done that in the winter, and the Forest Service has not been able to repair it yet.
And the snow gets fairly deep up there, and so when you think you're riding on the bridge, you're actually riding over the top of the handrails and so forth. I'm assuming that's how
it's
broken down.
It's a footbridge with handrails along the sides, and they were all smashed up here a couple of years ago. It's a very popular area in the winter with the snowmobilers.
Anything else that you would like to say about this flower or the trail itself?
Well, like I said, I can tell you the flower is very interesting, and I love those little pom-poms of the Dr. Seuss plant look. As far as the lake, it's a very pleasant lake. There's a nice cliff on the far side of it, on the west side. When you enter the valley there, there's two mountain peaks on each side. One's called Gog and the other is called Magog. And it's interesting that there's some biblical references there and also some mythology. Apparently, the two giants that protected town of London were called Gog and Magog by mythology. Anyway, kind of interesting. I don't know who named it, but they had a couple of different sources to call on.
Well, David, thanks for coming in with us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Take a Hike with David Wallace. Stay tuned for the rest of Zesty Garden coming up in just a bit.